Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know if you guys know what time it is, but I know what time it is.
Yes, sir.
Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume.
You can't see me.
I got a hat.
We say it every time. And, of course, it's a Tuesday. What's that say, Tuesday? Yeah, of course, April the 21st,
sir.
You are officially talking sports with the 12th man. What a fantastic night we have. Got a lot of topics to discuss, but without further ado, I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host. And we always got to introduce the crew. Number one, let's check in with Mr. JQ, Mr. Jaquan Jenkins. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm a little stressed over here watching my Reds and Brewers having a 16-10 baseball game, which is just outlandish. But outside of that, I'm good. How you doing, man?
I'm glad you're keeping your composure, man. You know, just to stay focused, okay? So it's all about, right?
Yeah, I'm trying.
JQ is clearly going out. And let's turn it into my other fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Doing great. Feeling stuff. Barbecue oysters, double chocolate bread pudding, hickory grill redfish. How you like that?
See, here we go. Just rub it in the air.
This choker right here. Gonna sit there and talk about what he's eating. That's okay. Don't even want to share. But America, that's okay.
Alligator sausage and seafood gumbo.
Man, stop playing.
Sorry, America. You know, we know we're here to talk sports, not about what Robert had for dinner. But that's okay. Without further ado, Robert's going to be bringing us a lot of that whenever he loses a couple bets. So we'll keep an eye about that, too. But let's once again throw our show information. If you ever want to call into the show, the number is 424-243-9519 if you can actually get a word in. Also, we're available via Twitter. If you go to the number Twitter.com, obviously, put in the number 12, THMAN Sports, 12 Man Sports, you will find us. And then finally, we are in the social media world on Facebook. If you go to Facebook.com/12Man Sports, or you type in Sports with 12 Man, you will find us as well. So without further ado, fellas, we got a lot of topics to discuss here. We always say that NFL is king, so let's go ahead and kick it off. A lot of things to talk about, man. We got the draft coverage here. We've got a lot of news about Adrian Peterson, about some top five teams, a lot of things. So let's, and obviously the NBA playoffs, talk about that. But first and foremost, guys, I'd like to start it off with, you know, real quick, guys, what's happening with Chip Kelly? What is he doing, man? Why does he keep having all these quarterbacks? Man, what's going on with that? So I'm going to kick it off with JQ. What do you think about this, Rob? What's going on with that, man? Oops, still here, guys? What happened?
Yes. Sorry, my bad.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yep, my bad. I was talking on mute. My fault.
Okay.
I heard that he was unhappy with Matt Barkley. And the other piece is I also heard that he was planning on using Tim Tebow on the two-point conversions. You know, his time at Oregon, he's always been a trendsetter on the, you know, that swing and gate formula on the two-point conversion and a little trickeration. So from that kind of standpoint, I can understand it because you don't generally get too much work out of your third quarterback, and anytime you have him on the roster, you kind of feel the need to use him because you take away another roster spot. But I want to let you have it because I know that Tim Tebow is your guy. I want to know how you feel about it, Dre.
You know, it's another quarterback now, you know, personally, at this juncture, just somebody that was pretty much added to try to add some, you know, value to that. I mean, I really don't know enough about it. You know, just another quarterback. Rob, what do you think about this, Rob? What's going on, sir? What do you think about the signing?
Well, you know, number one, it was still shocking, you know. But I know you were ecstatic, you know. I know you got a big man crush on him. But, you know, and we opened up the show talking about Tim Tebow again. So, you know, it was right up your alley. But, you know, still somewhat shocking. He's 27 years old, been out of football for a few years. You know, I still personally would be shocked if he actually makes a team come August.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if he does, you know, I can definitely, go along the same kind of thought that JQ just mentioned, you know, 2-point conversions and things of that nature. I still have a hard time seeing him making the team come August, but, you know, they signed him to a veteran minimum too, so, you know, they're not going to lose anything if they decide to cut him. But I think it's just going to be one of these kind of things. They're bringing him in to see what he can offer, and but I don't think he's going to make the team.
I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. And I guess, is this a power play for quarterbacks, or is Chip Kelly trying to trick us and you know, trying to still work his way around to Marcus Mariota, or is this kind of like, he's just kind of like, I'm done, and he's kind of like giving up the fight? I mean, what do you guys think about that? Is this kind of like him, or, I mean, because you got about, like, 5 or 6 quarterbacks, man. You know, go ahead, JQ. I know you're excited about that. Yeah, what's going on, sir?
I really think it's more for the chicoration piece of it, because, you know, he's still a big guy, and you put him on the 2-yard line, and, you know, if they're talking about eventually moving that point after back, maybe you start to prep for that in advance. And also, you know, we give him a lot of flack, but that dude, I believe, is a 9-6 as a starter, and he's won a playoff game. So let's not just necessarily throw him totally under the bus like he's a bum. There's a lot of quarterbacks that would kill for that record and a playoff victory that's in the league starting right now. So
he's a bum, but go ahead. Yeah.
I'm just saying, he's got a winning record as a starter, and he's won a playoff game, and, you know, it's not always pretty, but sometimes it's effective. So depending on if you're going to use him, depending on how you're going to use him, if he's finally going to be open to playing more of a H-back tight end slash quarterback role where he's, you know, a bigger version of Cordell Stewart in that slash kind of mode, then I think he has a spot. But if he's just coming in and just strictly drop back and pass and be a quarterback, it's not going to work.
Rob Ford?
Well, I mean, obviously, these days you have one of the worst QB ratings in NFL history. So, you know, I don't expect him to, you know, come out and be a drop back passer. Absolutely not. And, I mean, you know, he's a gimmick quarterback. That's what he is. But, you know, once again, I'll be totally shocked if he's on the team come August. You know, looking at his quarterback rating, like I said, he's one of the worst he has one of the worst QB ratings in NFL history, and it's not about to change.
I wouldn't be shocked, because we're talking about Chip Kelly at this point. So anybody else, I'd be shocked, but with what Chip Kelly has happening, I wouldn't be shocked, because he's just
Chip
on
Kelly.
His own level right now.
Chip Kelly.
He's on his own planet. He's got
wrong.
A mind of his own.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Still can't be confused. Now, well, you know, I still think the Eagles are in play for Marcus Mariota, so we'll see what's going to happen with that, too.
Let's talk
about
that, too.
He had his 118th quarterback on his roster.
So, you know, there's been some rumors, guys, that have been going out there. And do we think that, and if you would say, like, right now, because, you know, we're still counting down the days of the draft, and if I would have told you that Phillip Rivers is not going to be a member of the San Diego Chargers, would you say yes or no? And I'm going to throw this out to JQ. If I told you right now that Phillip Rivers is not going to be the quarterback of the Chargers, would you say yes or no to that?
Oh, man. I feel like I'm going to pull a Michael Wilbon and push, because I can't understand why San Diego would do it. And, you know, we talked about this briefly, but then I saw an article where they talked to LT, who's still really close to Phillip Rivers, and he was talking about, you know, he's a homebody. You know, Tennessee is the closest team to where he grew up at. He really does not want to move to L.A., and if that's in play for San Diego, even just playing in L.A., it's not for him. And he seems to have some kind of disenchantment with the San Diego organization. So I feel like it's 50-50, you know. I feel like they don't necessarily want to give him a big deal. And also, he looks around and, you know, there's no more LT, there's no more Vincent Jackson. The only mainstay that he has left over is Antonio Gates, and Antonio Gates is on borrowed time at this point. So I think sometimes where there's some smoke, there's some fire. So I still think it's a crapshoot. He could be angling for a bigger contract, but, you know, I've seen crazy things happen. If they can swing him to Tennessee and they get Tennessee's, you know, second pick and some other considerations to go with it, I, at this point, I can't say I would be shocked. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I can't say I would be shocked at this point now. Haven't heard from LT, who I know is close to Phillip Rivers.
Rob Ford. If I would have told you, you know, Philip Rivers is going to be a Charger, he may not be. What would you say to that? He's not going to be a Charger. What would you say?
My gut is that he still will be a Charger. And but, you know, like JQ said, it's 50-50. But if I have to put my money on one way or the other, I'm still closer to leaning toward him being a Charger. And so we'll have to wait and see. What are we, shucks, about 9 days away from the draft? Oh, man, I can't wait next Thursday night. So a lot should be. I would say by Monday and Tuesday of next week, we should start getting a flurry of trades that start taking place for this draft on next week. But if I had to make a prediction, I'm going to say that Philip Rivers will still be a Charger, that they will try to make another run at it for at least a couple of years with Philip Rivers.
And it makes sense on a couple of different fronts, too. I know, JQ, you're about this, too, because if they do have a new stadium, maybe they will try to go a different direction, you know. Philip Rivers is getting older, so maybe they may kind of start fresh, you know. That's the only reason I can think about something like that. And then it's kind of good for everyone, you know. Hey, he doesn't want to sign an extension for his contract. You know, we are clearly rebuilding. You want to give L.A. kind of a new face. You know, things may work out in that particular instance too, man. So that's the only reason why I can see it actually coming into a reality, man, because, you know, if you are Tennessee, maybe you think you're a couple pieces away. You get a quarterback and everything else kind of fall into place. So, you know, I don't know. I kind of lead towards that direction, guys.
And I'll bring up a good point that Rob brought up last week. You talk about Ken Whitsenhunt is coaching for his job in Tennessee. So if they give San Diego a God-offer deal for – you know, Philip Rivers, where they give them, you know, the first round pick this year and one next year and, you know, a two and a three somewhere down the line. If you're San Diego, can you say no to it at this point? So I think all of that is in play.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to say the least, too. I do want to hold off, Rob. I definitely want to talk about some NFL draft coverage here because you did the mock draft again. But let's kind of talk about a couple things that we can kind of hit really quickly. Definitely as far as Adrian Peterson, that saga is continuing. There's a couple teams that you've heard about that his name was actually linked to. But I guess the top team, and if you're a Cowboys fan, you are all about whatever's happening with Adrian Peterson and going to the Cowboys. And I think this is actually more true than all the other things. And I think he may be jockeying other teams for this position because I know he wants to play for the Cowboys. And now I've heard about some rumors about what the Vikings want, a first-round pick, a player, cornerback, whatever. Is this going to happen, Rob? Do you think he's going to go to the Cowboys?
Listen, I know we had this conversation several weeks ago, and now it's back on the surface again. I know the Cowboys have since signed Darren McFadden. This is a tough one. I would say that I could definitely see Jerry Jones now that he, you know, the last time we had this conversation on the show, you know, the Cowboys still technically had DeMarco Murray in the contract when I was with the Eagles. I could see the Cowboys jumping in the picture with this thing, even though they're denying it at all costs. You know, you can't trust Jerry Jones. I could see them at possibly at some point getting into the agent Peterson sweepstakes. But I think it's wide open. I think anybody's got a chance. Teams are not going to spend a big premium on a running back these days as far as a trade is concerned. And, I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's a position in the National Football League that's been devalued. You're talking about a guy who's been out of the league for almost a year, even though it is Adrian Peterson. And so, you know, we'll see. I don't think a team is going to break the bank on a trade. It would have to be a trade to whereas the Cowboys is not giving up a whole lot for them to pull a trigger on it, or any other team for that matter, in my opinion.
JQ. JQ's on mute again.
JQ, you got the mute button on again?
Uh-oh. You dropping off? All right. I hope he doesn't have the mute button. All right. We'll wait and see what's going on with that, too. There he is. I think he's calling back. Oh, I got a caller here. Hold on.
No.
JQ.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. He just dropped me. I guess he didn't want me to be part of the conversation. Yeah.
No, you're good. No, did you hear what we were talking about as far as, so you know we're talking about with the Cowboys and Adrian Peterson, right? You're right on it. Right on
yeah, I heard
that, right? Cool.
Yep, I heard that.
Karen. All right, we're kicking to you now real quick.
Okay, well, the thing about it, I'm with Rob on that, is he's got a pretty onerous contract for this year and next year, so I think any trade has to be facilitated with him reworking that contract, because if you're going to give up a high premium pick and a player and pay him, you know, $11 million a year this year, and I think 13 for the next year, that's a lot to give up for a 30-year-old running back, even though he is Adrian Peterson. So I don't know, and I still think Minnesota is in a position of power, because you just lost a year if you're Adrian Peterson. Are you really going to sit out and try to force their hand and maybe sit out another year and use another year of making money? So I don't know. I still think Minnesota tries to hold on to him unless they get a God-offer deal from Dallas, but that's going to be tough. And Dallas is going to have to keep some of that money in reserve, because here coming up, they're going to have to start paying those offensive linemen when they come off those rookie contracts.
Fellas, man, a couple things, man. This is what I'm going to say. And I'm going to say that, you know, remember that trade back in the day where the Vikings traded or to Dallas and Dallas paid? This is kind of like they're still thinking about this back in the day, right? But I definitely think that this in my heart of hearts, I think that this is Dallas talking to Adrian Peterson. Man, you're behind the best offensive line in football. Look at what DeMarco Murray did. You're 20 times better than DeMarco Murray. You're not even going to get touched. Mm-hmm. You know how much longer your career is going to be? You can have literally 2,500 yards. This is what's probably going on, guys. You know what I'm saying? Not without therapy, what's going on. But I'm telling you, right now, Adrian Peterson is salivating to join the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? Because he knows that his career is going to be. He's 30 years old, but we all know he's the best, you know, pretty much the best back in the game right now. And he doesn't have that much wear and tear because he's been off this season. You put him with the Cowboys, that is probably the one piece. And Jerry Jones is probably thinking in his mind, Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? So if I can kind of distract everybody, this is the one piece that gets him over the hump. You know, because you don't really trust Tony Romo. I know I don't trust Tony Romo. But, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, you have that strong running game. Keep that defense going. It's a model like the Seattle Seahawks, if you will. You know, defense has just enough. But I'm telling you, man, he's gonna pull this off. Cowboy game is going to be sold out. Adrian Peterson's jersey is going to be selling out. This is Jerry Jones' match in heaven, man. I'm just saying. I'm wrapping it up. Just think about that.
I can't disagree with that. I just worry about the compensation end of it when you already are going to be up against it. You still got to pay Dez Bryant as well. So I just worry about the money.
He's going to make his money back from all the jerseys. All the jerseys he's going to sell, all the playoff tickets. Adrian Peterson's coming back home. Man, Cowboys fans are going to go nuts, man. I'm telling you, that is the one piece of the thing. You talk about sellouts, I'm telling you, Jerry Jones is a businessman first. You know, he knows if he gets Adrian Peterson. Cowboys fans went nuts over signing Greg Hardy. What do you think you're going to go nuts whenever they sign Adrian Peterson?
I don't disagree with that. I think it's a good fit. I just worry about the money and the compensation, because if you sit there and you're Minnesota, you're sitting with all the cards. He's already had to sit out 1 year. He already has his contract. I mean, you have all the cards in your favor. You can hold him for a king's ransom, or you can make him play for you, and you don't really have to buckle. That's the only thing I worry about, it because the Cowboys and Adrian Peterson have no leverage.
You know how you see
you make a good point about.
Go ahead, Rob.
You make a good point about Jerry Jones and the star power and wanting star power and Big D and things of that nature, but one thing you got to realize too about this Dallas Cowboys team too, the offensive line they have there is the best in the National Football League, and I don't think it takes a superstar running back to be successful behind that offensive line, and so that's another area where Jerry Jones can probably look at and say, hey, this is an area of our team where we don't have to spend a lot of money because of what we have on the offensive line as well. And so, I mean, it's once again, it goes back to whereas I think the position has been devalued, and, you know, with the offensive line that he has, you know, he could have a couple of middle-tier running backs, you know, very successful behind that line.
And how about a Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
You can have that, fellas, but you're talking about Adrian Peterson. You're talking about the guy that can take him back. Taking the next level.
You're also talking about a guy who's been off for a year, too.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, but I'm telling you, I mean, and I'm not just literally you know, doing this because I'm trying to, like, mess with you guys, but I'm seriously thinking, man.
No.
You know,
why are you trying to mess with us, man?
Get one last hurrah for him. I mean, you know, this could be the final piece. I mean, all these guys, yeah, they could be pretty decent. I mean, Melvin Gordon, no, they're still pretty much unproven at this juncture. I mean, we pretty much think they're going to be successful, but, you know, you have Adrian Peterson behind that. Like I said, yeah, you got the best offensive line in football. That's a fact. But if you put Adrian Peterson behind that, man, I mean, telling you, that's going to catapult, you know, the Cowboys probably to the top of the division, man, easily. You know?
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, man.
I don't disagree with that. It'd be different if he was a free agent. But he's not a free agent. That's the only reason why I have to throw a little cold water on him, because he's not a free agent where they can just pick him up off the street and sign him. They have to work it out with Minnesota, and Minnesota has no inclination to really give him away. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's some other things that we got to talk about, you know, circumstances, and Adrian Peterson is going to try to play hard to get his agent's going to try to play hardball, you know, and, you know, they're going to threaten and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if it's like Kobe says, you know, here Minnesota, here's a first-round pick this year, you know, maybe one next year. I don't know what they're offering. But, you know, Jerry Jones, well, I'll take that because he wants so badly to get back to the level where he was back, you know, having the dynasty and Super Bowl and stuff like that, man. So I think Jerry would do anything to kind of get back to that, you know, back to the top and prove that he can, you know, call the shots whenever back to the Jimmy Johnson era. But, you know, and I'm not even a Cowboys fan. I'm just saying that's kind of what I'm thinking about, you know, that instance too, man. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out, man.
No, I don't disagree with you on that.
That was fun. All right. Rob, are you ready to talk about some NFL draft coverage, sir?
Oh, let's make a do to do, though.
Rob is not ready, man. All right. Did you want to post your latest mock draft? Did you get that, JQ? Let me send that to you, actually. I apologize. And, Rob, I got to give you JQ's email address, too, man, because I don't think you have that just yet, too, man. But anyway. Yeah, he doesn't. It's all good. The latest Robert Ford mock draft, I think this is mock draft. What is this, 5.1, Rob? Made
either 4.0 or 5.0, one of them.
Yeah,
I lost
one
count.
Of them. You made a couple of slight adjustments here. Surprise, you still got, you know, Jameis Winston number one. You got Marcus Mariota going number two to Tennessee. That's to be said whether they're drafting for San Diego or not. I don't know if there's anything that you want to kind of talk about. I just sent that to you, JQ. Not really a lot of surprises. One thing that you have is you got those two wide receivers going back-to-back. The Jets. You have them not taking a quarterback, but instead going with Amari Cooper. You got Chicago taking Kevin White, which is a huge surprise. And let me see who you got for Cincinnati. You got Cincinnati taking Eric Flowers off the tackle from Miami. So I'm going to let you comment on a couple of those. I'm going to see if JQ was happy with that pick. You got the Falcons taking Shane Ray, which, once again, not quite sure. I know we're looking defensive end too. But is there anything you want to comment about kind of your drafting, a couple of changes that you made? I know you got two wide receivers going. That's pretty bold, I would say, sir.
Well, not a whole lot of – I mean, this is probably the first – you know, my last mock draft, I didn't have any changes in the top 10. The top 10 pretty much stayed the same. So this is the first mock draft where I've had some changes here in the top 10. I do have Mariota going back up to the number two slot. Well, my last two mocks, I had him going number five. And so it's – kind of goes along the lines toward the way JQ's kind of been thinking here with Tennessee not passing up on Mariota, or either you have Philly or San Diego making the trade there to possibly draft him at the number two spot. Slight change, Leonard Williams, who a lot of people feel like is the best player in the draft, have him going number four to Oakland right there, with Dante Fowler, the best edge rusher, going to Jacksonville, where Gus Bradley is hoping to try to reciprocate that Seattle defense and get some more edge rushers there in Jacksonville. Vic Beasley, he's got the quickest first step. Yeah.
I'm going to say real quick, if Leonard Williams is there with Jacksonville, I think he's going there at number three, but that's just me. But continue on, but I like it. Carry on. I'm sorry. Let me cut you off.
All right. Vic Beasley, he's got the quickest first step in the draft. Or number five to Washington. That opens up the door for the Jets to get Cooper pair him with Brandon Marshall. Of course, you know, you got to hope that Geno Smith's going to be able to be the quarterback of that offense. And Kevin White, of course, to go to Chicago, a player that they need a player to replace Brandon Marshall in their offense. So you mentioned Shane Ray in Atlanta. You need an edge rusher there in Atlanta. Big Danny Shelton, big defensive tackle. I think it'll be a perfect nose tackle for the 3-4 defense in Cleveland. Actually, have the Saints taking a wide receiver, number 13 now, Devontae Parker from Louisville. The Saints, of course, got to get some weapons on offense. Just a couple other notes, you know, going down the draft. Todd Gurley, I actually have him going down to Arizona now, number 24. So where I initially had him going like 17 to the Chargers, so I did drop him a little bit. I dropped Melvin Gordon down to 32 to the New England. So I did drop both of those players. Landon Collins, a safety at one point, I had going in the top 10 in the draft. Have him going down all the way to number 27 to Dallas. I do know for a fact today he got on the plane to go to Pittsburgh to meet with the Steelers. Landon Collins, who was still the best safety in the draft, but his stock is, you know, going down slightly. But I still have him going to like number 27 to Dallas. The Ravens, desperate for cornerback play. I have them grabbing Kevin Johnson from Wake Forest at the number 26 spot. So I don't know if you guys had any other comments regarding any of these picks or any other player for that matter. Randy Gregory, 14 of Miami, is still a question mark on whether he's going to drop or if he's not going to drop. So that's going to be very intriguing, too, in the draft.
Smoke weed every day. JQ, what you got to say?
I agree with Flower to Jacksonville, because what I've been reading is that they want Fowler to play that Leo position in that defense for Jacksonville the same way that he brought that over from Seattle. I would like Minnesota. That would be interesting if they took Devontae Parker to pair him with his college quarterback there in Minnesota. Cincinnati takes the best picks. Yeah, I think Cincinnati takes the best player available to him.
That's
so if it's an offensive lineman, because they have two offensive linemen in Andre Smith and your boy from LSU. Whitworth are going to be free agents after this next year, so they're going to need an offensive lineman. I've also heard that Baltimore would not let Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley get past them, whichever one was still available. So I would think that Melvin Gordon would go to Baltimore at 26. Outside of that, I mean, I can't really nitpick with anything else he has happening there. It's pretty solid.
Wow, Rob, you got one fan. Go ahead, sir.
You know, watch the Ravens, too, with the wide receiver position, too. You know, you lost Torrey Smith, and, you know, you still have Steve Smith, of course, but he's up there in age. You lose Torrey Smith, and you lose your, you know, your kickoff and punt return guy and Jacoby Jones, too. So that's a position that you could look at possibly as well for the Ravens as well. But I can definitely see them going, as JQ mentioned, a running back position, but they also desperately need cornerback play, too.
They do, and I think they can wait on the wide receiver, because the wide receiver is so deep in this draft again. I think they could probably pick one up in the second or third round. But I don't know if they are sold on Forsett long-term, so I think they want to pick up a younger running back to move forward with. But I agree with what you're saying. They need a cornerback, yeah.
We got about 90 seconds, Rob. You want to go ahead and set us up for the OT portion? We're going to talk NBA and continue up the conversation as well. So go ahead, Rob. It's on you, my friend.
Well, I tell you, the fastest 30 minutes on radio, people. time goes by fast. We're having fun. We appreciate you all tuning into the show. Make sure you join us again on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. What time is that in Germany next week, Andre?
That's 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Is that what it is?
5 a.m. Wednesday morning, people.
Right.
So our friends in Germany, join us next Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. You don't want to miss it. Next week, of course, our show will probably be strictly NBA and strictly NFL draft, as the draft is next Thursday. And we'll be in the heart of the NBA playoffs as we are now. So that will pretty much be our entire show for next week. So you don't want to miss it. If you're an NBA fan, and if you're an NFL fan, tune in, people. Good night.
America, I didn't say T-Square's name once, but I just refer to it as T-Square. So you should be happy about that. notice I didn't have to talk about that. JQ, what do you got to say, sir?
Not a whole lot. Thanks for having me. Good night, America. Let's get ready for this NFL draft.
We're having fun, too. And, guys, as we get ready to kick off the OT portion, I know we're going to talk about this next week, too. But I'm curious, guys, do you think there's a problem with the guys not going to the draft? You know that James is going to stay home as well as Marcus Murray. Is that a problem as we are officially into the OT portion of the show? Is that a problem, you think, guys? Is that taking something from the NFL draft, you think, guys? Or is this kind of just, you know, circumstance?
I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I think what happens here is every so often you have a quarterback who falls in the draft. And I think guys are afraid of seeing that, you know, seeing themselves constantly being shown on TV in that green room back there. You know, you can go back to Aaron Rodgers falling all the way to 24, where he was supposed to be a second pick in the draft, or at worst. You can go back to even last year, Johnny Manziel. I mean, it was considered by most a top 10 pick. He goes number 21 to Cleveland, another guy. So quarterbacks, they're a little afraid of the fall. And, you know, I definitely don't see it happening with Winston. I don't actually see it with either one of these guys now. I know at one point I could have possibly seen it with Mariota going into a little bit of the, you know, 11 to 12 area. But I don't see him dropping that far at the moment. We're about 9 days away from the draft. So, but the quarterbacks are a little concerned about the fall in the draft.
And to piggyback on that, in his year, Brady Quinn also fell a little bit, and also Geno Smith.
Yeah.
So you have those issues. But I kind of think it's cool. If you want to be at home and, you know, invite your family, your extended family over, and all your cousins, you get together and you barbecue and you watch the draft together, I mean, you work that hard to enjoy it with them as well. So I don't have a problem if you don't want to have all, you know, the lights and the pop and circumstance. If you just rather cool out at your house with your family, I don't see any issue with that. As long as you show up to whichever team's headquarters that drafts you on time, ready to go to work, I don't think it makes a difference.
Okay. The draft process has been pretty draining for those guys, too. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
It's pro days. It's individual workouts with teams. And it's probably a time for them to just kick their feet up a little bit and relax a little bit, especially when you talk about the quarterback position. I mean, those guys have been poked at physically, and they're probably mentally drained as well. So, especially for those two guys' sake, once again, it's also a time for them to kick their feet up and relax a little bit, especially everything they've had to go through the last 2 months.
Absolutely.
I'm getting my free tickets to New York. I don't know about y'all. Oh, we're not going to New York.
Hey, going to Chicago this year, man. That's probably another reason why they don't want to go.
There you go.
You ran half of that.
I love it. A couple things here.
Deep dish pizza in Chicago, people.
That's good pizza. I do want to spend a good amount of time talking about some NBA and Mike Budenholzer, but I'm going to save that just for a quick second here. I do want to talk about, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, and if teams knew what they knew now, they would have not have waited for him to draft that long. But speaking of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, the report is that the Packers are planning to retire Brett Favre's jersey on Thanksgiving night. Is this a good thing, you think, guys? Is it kind of an appropriate moment? JQ, what do you think about this this particular report as well?
I think it's perfect. They've been estranged for too long. He was Mr. Packer for all those years. And I understand they had a little, you know, acrimonious fallout with him leaving and going to Minnesota and the whatnot. But, you know, he's a Packer. And when you think about Brett Favre, that's what you think about. You don't think about Minnesota. You don't think about New York. You don't think about Atlanta. You think about Green Bay. So them bringing him back and having a Thanksgiving night and having a national audience, you know, welcoming him back into the Packer family, so to speak, and doing it on the primetime game, I think is absolutely perfect.
What do you think about that, Rob?
Yeah, definitely long overdue. It's time to end their little bickering that they had, and it's time to go ahead and honor Brett Favre, the man known to throw the triple coverage. But no, just kidding. But yeah, it's good. It's time to go ahead and honor everything that he did for that franchise, which was a lot. And so it's definitely time to put down the little bickering that they did have between the two, and go ahead and give him his rightful place in history in the Packer organization.
Absolutely.
Hold on, real quick. I'm getting a quick call. This is John Madden. This is John Madden here. Brett Favre is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. I don't care what you're talking about. He can win just by sheer will by throwing with his hand tied behind his back. This guy was a gunslinger. Wasn't scared of anything. Painkillers. Man, this guy is the greatest thing that ever since sliced bread. Okay, I'm just jumping. You know, but you know, John Madden really loves Brett Favre, man. You know, Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah.
That used to crack me up too, man. But man, I love it.
Can we have Jen Sturger introducing?
Oh, I love it.
Oh yeah, boy. Oh, Brett Favre doing the triple coverage. Oh man, he's got such great confidence in his arm. Anybody else throw the triple coverage? Oh, what an idiot!
Yeah. A lot of people stop throwing those new picks in the triple coverage. Hmm? Yeah, no, his time was the Jets when he was messing with that chick, Jen Sturger. That's why I threw that in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, man. All right, we got 10 minutes. I want to save some time for the playoffs as well as some things. But real quick, I want to get this in there because being a Hawk fan, and I'm excited about this, Mike Budenholzer wins the coach of the year. I want to see if you guys are in agreement of this. Just a couple of the accomplishments for the Hawks, man, for this season. Man, we had a franchise record 60 wins. We had four players in the All-Star game. We went to that incredible 17-0 streak in January. We had a 19-game winning streak. That was, unfortunately, Rob's going to say this, knocked off by the Pelicans, but that's okay. And then we had a 22-win improvement from the 2013-2014 season. So, with all that being said, I mean, do you think that he was deserving of winning the Coach of the Year? And I'm going to kick it off with you, Rob. Is he deserving of that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he had. If I had a vote, of course he had my vote as well. I thought Steve Kerr would be my second choice based on the improvement that the Warriors made this season. But I think when you look at the Hawks, they jump from 8-1 from last year to this year. And then also when you look at the Eastern Conference, you look at the teams that made the most moves in the offseason, Cleveland, of course, and you look at the Bulls. And so those are two teams that going into the season you thought would be the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. You look at the Washington Wizards getting Paul Pierce. You know, that was another move that you thought the Wizards could be up there in the top three or four as well. So I don't think anybody thought the Hawks would be where they are. You got to credit Mike Budenholzer for that. So if I had a vote, would have received my vote as well.
Thanks for sucking up, Rob. JQ, what do you think of this, sir? Would you have picked? No.
Send me my check in the mail.
I would have split my vote. I would have split my vote between him and Kerr. Because what you know the talent that Kerr has in Golden State, but it's one thing to have the talent, it's one thing to maximize that talent and get the most out of it. And I think he absolutely has done that with Golden State this year with the 67 wins, I believe it is. I mean, that is just a pretty impressive mark. But I think you split it because nobody had the Hawks even on the radar, let alone running away with the top seed in the Eastern Conference, bringing over those San Antonio principles and getting everybody to buy in and understand their role. And like you said, you mentioned all their accomplishments earlier. You have to give them his just due. I think this is one of those years where you split it and everybody's happy with that. I think it's those two, and then there's a drop-off, even with the job that Pop continues to do and some of the other coaches. Those two, to me, are head and shoulders above everybody else, and I probably would have split it if I actually had a vote.
It's tough because, you know, I got to say, I think the Hawks are not that I'm trying to have a rose-colored glasses. I just think we're just totally unexpected. You know, we didn't have a superstar, supposedly, you know, so we've got, like, we got good players. I mean, I'm telling you, Paul Millsap, Al Horford, Jeff T. I mean, you know, but we're not in the league. You know, in league's eyes, I guess we don't have superstars. Yeah, Steph Curry's more of a superstar, obviously, definitely right now, and then obviously Klay Thompson right now. So, you know, that's kind of where I think we do get advantage. Rob hit it right on the head, man. You know, you got Eastern Conference. I mean, you pretty much assumed that Cleveland was going to do the thing because they had, you know, Kevin Love, and they signed all those guys, and, you know, everything with Derrick Rose and the Bulls. I mean, there's everyone is kind of set up to have more success than the Hawks, and then it kind of came out of nowhere. So that's why I do think it's a great coaching job. And, yeah, he should deserve that because, you know, the fact that there's some things that we didn't even expect. So, you know, Steve Kerr did his thing. I definitely think that it's tough because Mark Jackson was kind of put him on that train and then kind of see Cortana to the next level. So talent was there. And I think if Mark Jackson was there, I mean, they probably, you know, I don't think it'd be just as good, but I mean, I think he probably would have gotten just as far too. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's a conversation. I mean, I think Kerr did take him to the next level too, but, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out for sure, man. Cause we'll talk about playoff talk too. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. We got about 5 minutes, fellas. Let's kind of hit off some playoff talk too. Just on a quick note, looks like Washington has defeated, Toronto, which is pretty surprising because, you know, Toronto was, you know, obviously top seed in this particular instance. They're shutting down, you know, Kyle Lowry right now, so pretty interesting. And Cleveland has they take a 2-0 lead over Boston. And I would give Brad Stevens a lot of credit too, man. I mean, the fact that, you know, unexpected for them to actually get in the playoffs, you know, he would have been a distant third or something coach of the year. But that guy does a phenomenal job. He just ran into a buzzsaw with the Cavaliers. So I'll let you kind of start that off, JQ, and then we'll kick it to Rob. I'm going to get ready to wrap up this issue. Go ahead, sir.
And, yeah, and Boston has been playing Cleveland pretty tough in both those games. The scores haven't always indicated it because Cleveland's gone on a run. But Boston has played Cleveland much tougher than I think people are giving them credit for. I did pick Washington over Toronto because I just like the Washington's toughness and adding to Paul Pierce. He's giving them more of a playoff edge. The one surprising to me was the Clippers doing a pretty good job on the Spurs in game one. I'm looking forward to that second game to see how the Spurs respond. They kind of need that one, you know, to even it out. But pretty much everything else is going about where I expected it to go. Dallas and Houston are having a pretty good series. They're having a good game going right now. And Chicago's doing Milwaukee what I expected them to do in Milwaukee, and the same with the Hawks and the Nets. So the only thing I have a takeaway is the surprise of the Clippers coming out the way they did against the Spurs in game one. But everything else, pretty much, I'm not too surprised about.
Paul Pierce is still talking junk, man. Rob Ford, go ahead. Still, you got to say about it.
Well, yeah, I have to, you know, we talked about that Washington-Toronto series, and last week's show I mentioned it being a toss-up. I mean, Washington is taking them to school right now. It's one that JQ called on last week. And I tell you what, and Andre may not want to hear this, but if Washington keeps playing like this, I think they can give the Hawks a serious run for the money in the second round if they continue to play that. And you know, this is a team that definitely has the talent. When you talk about John Wall, Bradley Beal, an experienced front court with Paul Pierce, Nene, and Gortat. And so, I mean, that's I think with the way Washington's playing right now, if they continue on this pace, I think you're looking at a heck of a series with the Atlanta Hawks in the second round, to where initially I thought the Hawks had an opportunity to just coast the Eastern Conference Finals. And I don't see that any longer with the way the Wizards are playing. So that's going to be interesting. Yep, and the Clippers also surprised me as well. I do know the Clippers and the Spurs, of course. I said going into it that it would be the best playoff series. They were the two hottest teams coming into the playoffs. And, I mean, they pretty much just cooked the Spurs, the 15-point victory. I think this game, too, is going to tell us a whole lot. For if the Spurs have to win that game to be able to have a chance in winning this series. They will not be able to beat the Clippers 4 out of 5 if they lose game two as well. Game two is going to be huge in that series. And, you know, once again, as JQ mentioned, no real other surprises. We've yet to have a series go 1-1 split yet. So I'm waiting on that first series where we do have a 1-1 split. So that's going to be interesting to see if we have any. And if so, which series is going to be?
As we wrap up the show, I'm going to say the same thing that I said to my barber. I don't care who we play, I want the best. I ain't scared of nobody. So if it's Washington, bring them on. If it's Toronto, bring them on. If it's the Cavs, bring it on. That's right. I don't care. I'm sick of it, man. You know, everyone's talking about, you know, all this stuff. Let's bring it on. That's all I got to say. And then JQ.
Well, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. That's for sure.
Come on, Rick Flair.
Bring it on. I don't want no excuses. Woo! I got to move for every move you make. Woo! Take a lot of love, man. We're going to wrap up this show.
Get out the way.
Yeah. Now, Rob is gentle and hard, man. He's one way, he's nice and calm on the show, but on his Facebook page, he's posting all this hate for the Falcons and all that stuff. But I got you, Rob. That's what we're going to do, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's what we got to do.
Oh, man,
all
right, I hate the Falcons right out there. We're hating the Duke Blue Devils.
Oh, here we go. Get out of here, guys. Have a good one, guys. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same channel. Good night, America.
Good night, people.
Good night, fellas.